Hola, 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 mi gente. Daisy here with you all. How are y'all doing? So on today's segment, we have our good friend Fernanda joining us here today.
Hola, buenas tardes, buenos días, buenas noches a todos. Thank you, Daisy, for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
And we're always happy to have you here, Fer. So for today's topic, we want to dive deeper on the topic of nutrition in our Latinx community. And we want to particularly focus on the issues that surround this topic. So, Fernanda, tell me, what's the first thing that comes to mind when talking about our Latinx community and our traditional foods?
If I'm being real with you, diabetes, liver disease, heart disease, and many other diseases that are prominent in our Latinx community.
Right? Especially when thinking about tacos, tortas, tamales.
Oh, yeah.
That TTT diet.
Oh, yes.
Now, the question is, why? Why do you think that is?
Okay, so I teach a medical Spanish decal, and we ask this question a lot about, like, why it is that these diseases, to begin with, are prominent in our community to begin with. And most of the students kind of answer by saying that it's due to the high fat foods that we tend to go to, or the red meats, for instance. We use like a lot of aceite, the masa, the tortillas, you know. But yeah, I guess it just comes down to like our poor diet choices.
Right, like the form of preparation. But on that note, do you believe that it's only, or it's their choices that we make as Latinos?
I don't think so. I feel like, you know, we don't like voluntarily go to like Food for Less or our like local grocery store and just purposely pick, you know, like high in calories. You know, we don't like purposely buy high fat foods. Like it's not like we're voluntarily choosing to be unhealthy. I feel like there's more to it, like more like other factors.
I guess so. It really does come down to what's accessible to us. For instance, I feel like Latinx communities, we also tend to be low-income communities. And we find those in places that are surrounded by food deserts, which make everything so much inaccessible to all.
Yeah, so I've heard of food deserts, and we actually talk about it in my medical Spanish class when we talk about the social determinants that, like, impact our Latinx community. So basically, food deserts are found within like low-income communities, right? And like it tends to be it like limits their accessibility to like I guess more fresh and healthier foods. Like I guess if you think about like a neighborhood and like what stores are like close by or nearby, it you'll see like more like McDonald's or like fast food restaurants as opposed to like a Whole Foods or you know, like a food market. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. It really does come down to city planning. That's what seems to be the common theme here. City planning and what we're surrounded with, right? And city planning, I feel like, is a problem rooted from years of oppression, I feel.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, dude, like, I never really thought about it. Like, my thoughts on, like, our poor diet kind of just involved like our poor choices, like just, you know, like as a culture, because like these have been like dishes that we passed on from like generations to generations, you know. But like I never really thought about like the government actually having, you know, any like responsibility in like our poor nutrition.
And also to piggyback from that topic, we see isolation of these ethnic groups. For instance, with that, this isolation rises the problem of lack of education and the struggle with acculturation to the European ways of being, right? So we also see with lack of education, we see disparities in healthcare quality. For instance, today we see these forms of violence imposed towards our Latino subgroups, such as Mexicans and Mexican Americans, and they're displayed through city planning, which is not catered or not really catered to our low-income communities. And that's where we can tie, again, the whole topic of food deserts and how we're reliant on what's accessible to us. And oftentimes what's accessible to us is not the most healthy, most organic, and most fresh food.
Yeah, especially if we bring up the issue that, like, we tend to be found in, like, you know, like, the low-income communities. So, like, because they make up the working class, these individuals are working, like, let's say, like, in el field, like, piscando, you know, they're farm workers. So, like, they get home tired, so they don't have the energy or, like, the time to just head out, like, 20 minutes or 30 minutes out to be able to, like, como se dice, like, get the things they need.
Yeah, or even focus on maintaining a balanced nutrition. Their priority is to eat and survive, basically. Priority here is to survive. Oftentimes, what is accessible to us is fast food chain restaurants, such as McDonald's. And what does McDonald's offer? The dollar menu.
A Big Mac.
And isn't that and isn't that what it's most accessible, most easy to buy, most quick? Especially if, like you said, you're a working class individual who, let's say, works from 7 a.m. to, you know, 6 p.m. and have to come back and take care of a family of three, I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I guess from, like, personal experience, when I was in high school, my mom would pick me up. She'd get off of work at 3:30. I'd have, like, a soccer game, for instance, like, a couple, like, 20 minutes out, let's say, out of the city. I grew up in Stockton. And then, like, on her way back, like, it was late. She was tired. She still had to get home and make food. But in order to, like, save some time, like, we'd stop at, like, Jack in the Box or, like, what's one call it, like, McDonald's. That's what was around, you know, like, that's what is around. So it's like, it isn't just, you know, like you said, it's what's accessible, it's what's easier, especially, like, with the, like, lifestyle we live, you know.
Yeah, that really does resonate a lot with my experience as well. My parents, they're all, or I come from Watsonville, California, and that's a very agricultural community. My parents work in the fields, so they went in from like 7 a.m. up to like 7 p.m. sometimes. And well, it was easier to feed us something easy, quick from like a fast food restaurant. Like you said, something like from Jack in the Box or McDonald's, which was closer to us. So you see, this is why we see a higher predominance of like diabetes and chronic diseases, because we also see that the foods that are accessible to us are not always the most healthiest.
And it's not like we're by choice. I mean, like, obviously they are good food, you know, they're not the best foods for us, but they are good. But I do feel like
it comes down to priority. Yeah, and our priority here is to survive
and like get by. And I guess like we're not too focused on like nutrition or like whether this is like healthy for us, whether it's gonna like affect us in the long run. We're not worried about that. We're worried about like the present, you know, like we don't have that privilege. We don't have that, you know, like we're kind of more focused on like bringing money to the table like now and worrying about the future later. So like we're not thinking about, like my parents aren't thinking about like, oh my god, I should not eat this bag of chips or drink this Coca Mexicana because I'm gonna get diabetes because it runs in my family. No, like they're thinking about like, you know what, I'm starving, I'm gonna eat what I have, which is chips and Coca Mexicana. And then like, I mean, I guess, okay,
we recognize that it is a structural issue, but because it's a structural issue, what are your thoughts on like the way that we can go about fixing these issues?
Well, I guess like, I mean, I'm not too informed on like what are like ways we can like solve this issue, just because I feel like personally it's something we can't really just solve by changing a thing or two. I feel like it takes time, and I feel like we said it comes from a way deeper rooted problem. But I guess like one thing that comes to mind is like well, like at least for an example, like my cousin, shout out to Claudia Daslin Aguila, what's up? She did a internship in Stanford or at Stanford last year, where she was given the opportunity to like organize and execute a project of her choice, and her choice was to create a workshop for the low income and underrepresented communities, specifically Hispanics, and like these workshops, I guess, kind of informed them about nutrition and the importance to and the importance of like, you know, like eating healthier and like
more balanced meals,
exercising, etc., in order to avoid getting diabetes or like avoid getting
or at least prevent it. You know, that's a very important topic that you brought up about education, and I feel like that's an example of second order change. And second order change is what we need. We need not only to make these resources accessible to the Latino community, but also accessible to all. I feel like we need equity in order to make all these resources more accessible to all and not just to a particular community. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to make the group a research someone to be researched. No one wants to be someone to be researched, yeah. Someone to be fixed. I feel like the solution to this would be a more it comes down to who is in charge of making these policy changes.
Yeah, dude, I definitely agree. I think that's all the time we have for today.
Yes, sirree, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you all for joining us today and this topic on nutrition. For more on this topic, stay tuned for next episode.
Adios.